Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
My goodness. Clearly, it's a love-hate relationship here on this show. Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. holding it down this beautiful Monday. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, it's crazy, Jr., before we get to all the football, because I'm excited, it's NFL Draft Week. It never gets old. Christine Lisi, our amazing sports center updater, just really said it. The Knicks approaching a 10-game win streak. It just is sort of hard for me to wrap my mind around the New York Knicks having an opportunity to get to double-digit straight wins. Started from the bottom. Now they're here. It just still is new to me, Junior.
It's pretty insane to see what they've managed to build this season, Shanae. We've talked so much about how this is really laying the groundwork for a hopeful future where you can land a superstar player. Like, that's always transparently been the plan, but it doesn't erase how impressive this has been. We compare it so much to Brooklyn and what they had done in the years prior before they landed the superstars. Shanae, they were never seeded this high in the playoff standings. They were always a fringe playoff team. What the Knicks have done is far above and beyond what Brooklyn put together before this big three.
Yeah, we can for sure say that that was probably not on the schedule we'd anticipate when it came to this NBA season. But what is on the schedule this week? The NFL draft. Finally here. We can end the speculation on Thursday. And I'm really excited for this, Junior, because obviously you are a college football expert, so you know these prospects like the back of your hand. And all day long, we've been asking our listeners to call in with questions. So if you have a question ahead of the NFL draft, call us, 888-729-3776. And what's the only rule with the questions, Junior? Because you were very clear about one thing.
There's only one rule in all this, because we've been at this for a while now. A little over a month ago, when the San Francisco 49ers traded up to 3, and we, on an endless loop, have had to talk about Mac Jones going 3rd overall to the 49ers, and we're sick of it. And so, that's the only rule, as you call in, 888-SAY-ESPN, is you can ask any draft question you want. It just can't have to do with the 3rd overall pick in the draft of the 49ers or Mac Jones. That's our only rule right now.
Okay, good. That's good. But we've had a lot of great callers. A number from Alaska. So keep them coming. 888-729-3776. Shoot your shot with Junior on the NFL draft. Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And Junior, speaking of it, you know, it's Monday. It's NFL draft week. It's really exciting. And I think it's important for us to really reset how we got here and what makes this, you know, year really unique. I just watched this in the WNBA, another virtual draft, right, for the NFL. But overall, how do you think that the pandemic this time around, unfortunately, will affect how we see things go down on Thursday?
Well, it is going to be interesting because, Janae, this draft really last year was a point that cemented for a lot of people just how different things were. Yeah, the NFL said, we're still going to hold it. We're not moving the date around. There was all that talk, and you had Roger Goodell chilling in his comfy chair, looking very, very relaxed on the NFL stage. But now he's going to be back in Cleveland. There are going to be socially distanced and vaccinated fans in attendance outside of the Brown Stadium. And so some of these things are going to start to feel normal, but the process leading up has been anything but, Janae. Cameron Wolf, who joined us earlier in the show to make the Dolphins pick in our mock draft, if you missed any of that, check it out on the podcast. Him and a number of our ESPN NFL reporters wrote a great article about how the pandemic, the ability to scout, all these things that became different this year are going to eliminate a lot of the groupthink that would have made picks take a little more of a normal course throughout the NFL draft. We're going to see some wild things, Janae, which is why we've had this conversation centered around the quarterback so much, because our collective thought has been Justin Fields, since high school, since 2018, has been the second-best quarterback behind Trevor Lawrence. He went to Georgia and then transferred to Ohio State and had, in 2019, one of the most efficient, productive seasons we've seen from a college quarterback, with his touchdown-to-interception ratio. And then in 2020, in an uncertain year where he helped get college football back, one of the grittiest performances you'll ever see against that Clemson team. And yet, Janae, we're heading into draft weekend, and Todd McShay's got a great article, our ESPN NFL draft analyst on .com, about the things he's hearing. And it sounds like Justin Fields may, in fact, be the quarterback that ends up falling a little bit in this draft, even though most of us are looking and saying this seems obvious. But in a year where teams have been spread apart, they've had less of an ability to reach out to these people, I think you're going to see more of them default to, we know what we like in the building, we've had limited exposure to these processes, and so we're going to hug this as tight as we can.
Okay, following the logic of asking Junior questions, Why is it that it's Justin Fields that's the one that has most question marks? I know that there was a little bit of ambivalent play before the college football playoff and limited number of games with their team, Ohio State, you know, always dealing with the controversies of, oh, you didn't have this many games a season. But it seems like there's still enough of a sample size that warrants a lot of changing of opinions that people are like, huh?
Well, Chanae, it's been weird because the one thing that we've seen come up that I'm baffled by is that we just penciled Zach Wilson in for two with the Jets, and we didn't ever ask any more questions about it. Like, we didn't ask questions about the Jets. Think about that. We set it and forget it. We crockpot theoried the Jets for the NFL draft. Like, in what world, what sort of Justin-loving God would allow the Jets to get the benefit of the doubt at this spot with this quarterback in particular? But that seems to be what's happened. So, Janae, there's been no debate about that. And then we've heard all this stuff leak out about how Kyle Shanahan likes him a little thick like Mac Jones, how Kyle Shanahan might have a type at quarterback that leads to Mac Jones. And all of this reporting has kind of exhausted us because if we keep spinning the wheel and getting the same thing back, at some point we then start looking down and going, all right, well, who is going to take a shot, Janae? And that's where it gets really interesting with Justin Fields because you keep going down the list. We've talked about, all right, we've got the Dolphins. We've got Tua Tagovailoa already in place. The Bengals, Joe Burrow already in place. And you get down then into, all right, well, the Carolina Panthers did just bring Sam Darnold down there. And, well, the Denver Broncos are sort of a wild card in here. And the Patriots in Washington might be a little too far back. You just start to struggle then to make sense of where teams are at in their process and who would actually go and try and reach for this guy.
Now I'm trying to get to the nitty-gritty. Do you have more questions about Zach Wilson and Trey Lance than you do about Justin Fields?
Oh, I think absolutely. I mean, and for different reasons. Zach Wilson had a 2019 season that was marred some by injury, but also when they played a normal slate and schedule, struggled at times. 2020 breakout year, we know they played absolutely nothing and nobody during that season, but the guy physically does things that certainly are going to pop and wow you. Trey Lance, physically and more, I mean, this guy was incredible. His 2019 season at North Dakota State, I mean, what he did would make all the other college quarterbacks look ridiculous, but we know that level of competition, yada yada yada, like, played one game in 2020. There's just not a lot of known there, Chanae. Super young player, a guy that at North Dakota State we've seen has produced some really competent quarterbacks. We just did the Carson Wentz experiment in Philadelphia that netted them a Super Bowl, but not a quarterback that lasted long into his second contract. So, yeah, I think you've got more questions on those guys. And Justin Fields only started for 2 years. It's not like we've got a 3- and 4-year guy that we've got a ton of tape on. We've got a quarterback that started one full season and then one nugget season in 2020.
And this is why, Junior, all of the NFL draft crazies that I love analytically, you told me about all the multiple different NFL Twitters that you can get yourself into.
Oh, yeah.
And in the NFL draft, it's just really funny because we talked to Dan Orlovsky, I believe it was last week, our ESPN NFL insider and obviously expert, and he basically was like, projection versus production, I'm taking projection. And it's funny because we put the projection on most candidates except Zach Wilson, where it's like, all right, maybe less is more based on Kyle Shanahan's system. And so it's funny how even though we may evaluate everyone on projection, hopefully, in certain instances, it does not apply based on the floor being raised per certain personnel in the building, even though you think that the floor will be raised with having someone with a higher projection that can move around and be a little bit different. And that's where I'm like on the seesaw, Junior. But it makes sense. Like, maybe you're following your coach's strengths over, you know, other quarterback strengths, but clearly it's the vision that matters in San Francisco, and that's where we always come back to. Oh, my gosh.
That's going to be the interesting part, Chanae, is we're at this point right now with Sean McVay in Los Angeles where – we just removed Jared Goff because we thought he was the problem in the equation. And now you're going to bring over a new quarterback. And now all of a sudden, Sean McVay, people are going to look and say, all right, well, we took away your excuse. We all sided with you on this and said, you're the offensive genius. You're the young coach we all trust. Now you got to make it happen with Matthew Stafford there, or we're going to start asking you some questions. Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers traded up and did this to themselves. They put themselves on the clock, him and their GM, John Lynch, to now be judged in a similar way. It's like, all right, if you really think, and we've all said Kyle Shanahan counts as like an offense and coordinator plus because he's so good he adds something that very few others are gonna. But now if you say, all right, my system is so great, I think we can just Mac Jones our way to this thing, ignoring the upside prospects, now you're going to have people looking at you wondering if this is going to get real Icarus-y real quick, where you fly too close to the sun and all of a sudden crash and burn in a way that would be very strange for a guy that we've anointed for a while now.
The energy just doesn't match. Like going, when you make that big risk to get all the way up to three and then you say, well, less is more, especially in our system, you're like, huh? Aren't we swinging big here? But no.
It's what you would expect given the amount of resources, especially they've given up. We know we said we weren't going to talk about three, but we ended up back at three. Listen, it's all going to end soon. L. Duncan and Kevin Negandhi hosting ESPN Radio's NFL draft coverage starting 7 p.m. Eastern on Thursday. It can't get here soon enough. Mike Tannenbaum, Bart Scott, Ian Fitzsimmons are all going to join L. and Kevin for days 1 and 2. You're not going to want to miss that. You got me, Jason Fitz, Trevor Scales, and a great crew on ESPN Digital as well. We got you covered every which way on the NFL draft. And even more so here, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. We got you covered on all draft questions. Anything you want to ask that doesn't have to do with Mac Jones or the third overall pick. We'll do that next. Chenea and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Devontae Smith, Heisman Trophy winner and projected first-round draft pick.
Touchdown, Alabama!
Devontae Smith with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Tomorrow morning at 9, 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News. Chenea and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Money! All right, we've got friends coming through in a few minutes. Mina Kimes, our NFL analyst, and I'm really curious because we've been talking questions all day. What is Mina Kimes' biggest question going into the NFL draft this week? We will ask her exactly that in about 10 minutes. It's Chenea and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chenea Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. And speaking of questions, in the break, Jr. just hit me with this question. He literally just asked me, Chenea, hey, what cleat are you rocking this year? Cleat?
Oh, man. Listen,
like,
I got old habits that are dying hard over here, right? Chenea's sitting around trying to, like, it's honestly, it's not even like a fun conversation I used to have with the O-lineman because we're just wearing the biggest, widest one with the most ankle support. Like, I meant to ask sneaker because I understand surfaces.
No, it's funny. I just loved it. That was my favorite thing. So how about this, Junior? Let me ask the questions and the rest of our family here on Chenea and Golic Jr., and you just stick with the answers because we've got plenty of questions with the NFL draft coming up. Junior has all the answers. So let's tap in again. Three sleeps before the NFL draft. Teams are under the pressure. They're under the gun now to sort of try to figure out what their picks are going to be. And so clearly we're going to ask questions of Junior, and it's anyone that has called in. And these things are about to get hot because clearly we can't talk about, what is it, the third pick overall, no Mac Jones conversation, no San Francisco 49ers. But everything else is on the table, so let's do this thing.
Your team got you down.
It's very sad and very frustrating.
We got you.
Because now is your time.
It is an absolute abomination.
Coming in hot with Chenea and Golic Jr.
Coming in hot is brought to you by Fidelity Investments. Now, Junior, can I go first?
Oh,
please?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Lovely. Well, it's really interesting news that we saw with reports that the Falcons have received calls from teams asking about, you know, all-pro Julio Jones, wide receiver. So now the question is, with the fourth pick available and possibly taking Kyle Pitts, is it time for Atlanta to really part ways with Julio Jones?
For the right price, and I say like right in bold, underline, italics, whatever other, you know, font movement you can do on that, because Julio Jones is a guy that matters a lot to this Falcons organization. He has been a fan favorite down there, and understandably, he's a freak of nature. He's an alien football player. I think no matter what, Kyle Pitts at four looks like a great idea. Todd McShay, our ESPN NFL draft analyst, has an article on .com. Things he's hearing from around the league, and one of them is that Kyle Pitts and the Falcons is looking more and more like a possibility. Chenea, I said a couple weeks ago, take him at four, future space alien weapon. Let him learn under a guy like Julio, who, yeah, different position, but the idea is physically they're so superior to the other people involved that you can create a mismatch and you can give Kyle a chance to grow. If you can get a haul back for Julio, who is getting older, who has certainly been banged up at certain times, I think that's a call you have to take. but it's really got to be a haul because you are going to lose some people in the immediacy after that because that's a guy that the Falcons love so much and don't want to feel like they're getting fleeced for.
It's a really tough position to be in, you know, where you're forced to be the mentor when the new shiny fun toy comes in. But still, I mean, this guy has tremendous value. So I like questions at 3 and questions at 4 on deck.
Yeah, no one's going to get mad at you for taking Kyle Pitts in the top 5. That's first and foremost. Like, he's anointed. He's good. He's off to the side on the ones that we're not going to ask any questions about. Facts. It's actually been funny to see the take Olympics of people just lauding Kyle Pitts with different levels of praise throughout this draft. Understandably
we're
so.
We're guilty.
Hey, listen, he inspires a lot of people. We want to hear from a lot of people. 888-729-3776. Let's go to Keith in Michigan. Keith, you're on Janae Angola Jr. What's your draft question?
Junior. Hey, are the Lions going to draft Devontae Smith or Micah Parsons?
We appreciate the call. I would imagine it's going to be Devontae Smith if they've got their shot there at a weapon. Shout out to Dan Orlovsky, though. Our Uncle Dan, ESPN NFL analyst, who I just saw on NFL Live, saying that the Detroit Lions need to either go big or go back in the draft. He is imploring them to look at history and take an offensive tackle in that spot. They'd probably be in Rashawn Slater range. But, Janae, if you're asking me weapon or Parsons, I'm going to go weapon. I'm going to go Devonta Smith for
That's
Jared
a smart
Goff.
Move. Go big or go back. I like that.
Get big. Let's go to Mitchell in Cincinnati. Mitchell, you're on Janae Angola Jr. What's your draft question?
Hey, you got a Cincinnati Bengal right here. Thanks for having me on. And I got a similar question. I mean, I hear all this Ja'Marr Chase talk, but we got the best dude in, I'm going to say, the country playing his ass off last year. Could we get him some protection?
I would agree. I looked at this and the Bengals picking at 5. This is Penei Sewell territory to me. There's been a big debate on what benefits your young quarterback more, a dynamic receiver or protection up front. He left last year with a knee injury on a cart because he was not adequately protected. Janae, I think at some point we overcomplicate a lot of things. Football starts with the quarterback, so the best thing that you can do is protect the nearest threat. Start at tackle, work your way out from there. He has weapons in T. Higgins, and I'm forgetting the other kid's name right now, but point is, there are enough weapons there that if he is protected and allowed to operate, I think you've got a guy that can really make things work there.
Draft
Penei Sewell, connect wealth.
Yes. I mean, come on now. That's not rocket science. So I'm happy for that one.
And listen, it shouldn't be that hard. Again, Penei Sewell is one of those. No one's going to be upset at your team for drafting Penei Sewell. Are there things he's got to work on? Absolutely. But is he an undeniable talent and an undeniable athlete at that position? Yes, absolutely.
You need it.
Go
for it. You need
it.
Yes.
All right, let's get one more. Tate in Utah. Tate, you're on Janae Angola Jr. What's your draft question? Tate, you there?
Hey, Tate.
Yeah.
What's your draft question?
Do the Steelers draft Najee Harris or get an offensive lineman?
I think an offensive lineman. I don't even think twice about it. Janae, I said this earlier. It's not that I don't love Najee Harris. He's my favorite running back in this draft. He's been a running back crush of mine for the last couple of years, and that's before we found out what an awesome dude he is in front of the microphone, giving us Megan Rapinoe celebrations and all that good stuff. But I just think value-wise, running back at this spot as your first-round draft capital for a team in the Steelers that's got to protect its quarterback behind an offensive line that had to let a bunch of guys go, I think you're going to see more tackles come off the board than we've mocked or expected so far. And I think that would be a great place for the Steelers to start. No Alejandro Villanueva anymore. Marquise Pouncey now retired on that offensive
line. James Conner, though, too. Talking about running backs.
James Conner, yes. James Conner in Arizona now, but Chiney, I think we've seen time and time again, you can get value from running back in later rounds in the NFL draft.
True.
I think there
True.
Are plenty of guys that can make a compelling case for the Steelers, and I think ultimately protecting your aging quarterback that you're taking a risk on this season is probably the number one priority.
Okay, you made sense. I was trying to push back a little bit, but you made more sense.
I appreciate it. Listen, that's what we're here to do. We're here to just have these conversations. We're going to do this all week, more draft questions leading up till Thursday, because quite frankly, I've been doing all the studying, and we got to get it out somewhere. So might as well. Again, tell me why, but don't do it about Mac Jones or the third overall pick. But coming up next, should Atlanta actually be taking those calls about Julio Jones? And should we believe, based on what we heard today, that all is well with Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers? We'll ask an expert next here, Janae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Well, the countdown is on to the 2021 NFL Draft.
Join me, Elle Duncan, Kevin DeGonne. Full coverage of the first three rounds on ESPN Radio.
Coverage begins Thursday, 7 Eastern, on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
I'm telling you, the chimes, they sound better and better as we get closer and closer to the NFL Draft. Yeah, hit me one more time. It's a little creepy how weird. I love them. One more time, Cliff. Yes. That's going to be my new ringtone here on Chanae Ngoliek Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Junior is looking at me crazy. Michael Ngoliek Jr., Chanae Ogwumike. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, first and foremost, a legend in the game heads home and has become a headline in the interim. You love to see it. Find out which coach we're talking about in about 10 minutes as we keep that same energy. But we love the chimes because we've got Mina Kimes here on ESPN Radio. You know what? I couldn't help myself.
I was going to say, the rhyme just naturally happened there, Chanae. But you know what the interesting part? You mentioned, like, the weird things the chimes do to you right now and your response to it. I promise you, it pales in comparison to what Mina Kimes turns into come NFL draft night. Because in addition to being our ESPN NFL analyst, also a diehard Seahawks fan, I'm glad the video resurfaced today of the DK Metcalf pick from 2 years ago.
That was
where
a good
Mina
one.
Screamed at me during our digital broadcast. Mina, are you ready to apologize for that yet?
Wow. I wouldn't call it screaming. I think I would call it expressing joy loudly. And that's not screaming, honestly. And in fact, you were lucky to be part of such a happy moment for me, because it's one of the top five happiest moments in my life. And that includes, you know, marriage, birth, graduation. DK Metcalf getting drafted, that's up there.
Mina, I'm going to steal that line. I yell at someone. I was like, I was just expressing joy loudly, okay? That's a bar right there.
But exactly.
Mina, your whole crew is heading to Cleveland for the NFL draft, the NFL live crew. That's what I'm speaking of. How relieved are you of finally being at NFL draft week?
Oh, I'm so pumped. I mean, you know, just to be able to do the show in person, and obviously the draft last year, it was great, you know, to, I guess, see everyone in their home environments, and the fact that it was at the beginning of this pandemic. But this feels like another turning point in all of this, candidly, you know, to be at that event and see many of the prospects there in person. And then for all of us who have been discussing these quarterbacks and where they're going to be drafted and what it all means over and over and over, well, I'm just excited to see what it, you know, how it all plays out. It's like, just get to the end of the movie already.
Amen to that. Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst, will be outside safely for the NFL draft. We're so excited for you, Mina. But what is the biggest question that you have ahead of Thursday?
Well, I think, you know, they've been saying the draft starts at 3 with the San Francisco 49ers pick. And I think that's true. Now there's a lot of reports about Mac Jones and Trey Lance and the, you know, Niners being divided, which is great, wild, given that they traded up so much for that pick. The notion that there's still uncertainty there is remarkable to me. But that, I would say, is the biggest question. But it's not the last big question, because after that, nobody knows what Atlanta is going to do. And after that, nobody knows what Cincinnati is going to do, because there's been thought for a while that they would take Penei Sewell, left tackle out of Oregon, but now there's a lot of heat behind the notion of the Bengals taking a pass catcher like Jamar Chase. So we're going to be sitting in suspense for quite some time after the first two picks.
Mina, you mentioned the Atlanta Falcons at 4, kickstarting the party yet again there. And we saw reports and, you know, talk on the internet today that they were taking calls on Julio Jones, or I should say receiving calls on Julio Jones. Do you think that's something realistically they should consider, dealing what's been one of the most productive wideouts in their team's history?
I think they might not have a choice because of the financial situation that they've put themselves in, quite frankly. You know, this isn't just about clearing cap space to do stuff. It's about clearing cap space so you can sign your rookies at this point in Atlanta. I mean, there's, of course, other ways that you can do it, but with Julio, they would be doing it also to get, you know, a reasonable return. Of course, they'd be doing it after June 1st, so they might not be able to get draft picks. So they wouldn't be able to get draft picks this year if they took that approach. But to me, Atlanta has to ask themselves the question, do we love one of these quarterbacks? Because if they do, they should take one of them. And if they do that, they should trade Julio, because then you're beginning a rebuilding process. You can accumulate draft picks and start moving on to the next phase of this football team.
Chinay Ingle Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Mina Kimes. And let's stick with the next phase, because we heard from Brian Gutekunst, the GM for the Green Bay Packers today, trying to make it sound like all is good. Aaron Rodgers is our guy. And now I see Jordan Love trending as people look at the odds for teams most likely to trade for him. Chinay, excuse me. Mina, do you think it is all good between Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers now, and they're going to walk arm in arm into the what was uncertain future?
I do not think it is all good or Gutekunst, and I think that if I think if it was, they would have gotten an extension done, and maybe they still will. You know, maybe there'll be a restructuring of the contract. But the Packers are a team that should be competing for a Super Bowl now, which made it confusing to myself and a lot of people that they didn't try to clear money up so that they could add players. Maybe they could add pass catcher or a cornerback. And the best way to do that would be to restructure Aaron Rodgers' contract and keep him around longer. Now, the question is, do both sides want to do that? And I don't think we have an answer to that question, but I will not feel like Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Packer for a long time until that actually happens.
Now, Mina, before we let you go here, I'd be remiss. I know we've talked so much about the third overall pick, about the 49ers, but we did have their press conference today, and when asked if Jimmy Garoppolo would be on the Niners roster Sunday, Kyle Shanahan said, quote, "I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive on Sunday." Are you here for nihilist Kyle Shanahan?
That sounds like a Twitter account that someone needs to make, where they need to combine Kyle Shanahan quotes with like Nietzsche quotes or something really bleak. I walked away from that thinking, all right, it's Mac Jones. That's all I'll say.
Follow her on Twitter at Mina Kimes. Download the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny wherever you get your podcast, and check out Mina along with the entire NFL Live crew heading out to Cleveland to cover the 2021 NFL Draft. Mina, safe travels. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mina.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
I don't know if we can forgive her for the Gutekunst
joke. That was really great.
She just thought we were going to like go along with that and not mention anything.
That was perfect.
She forgot.
She was like, I'm trying to be smooth. We always remember.
She forgot what show she was on. We don't allow for smooth around here. We're going to make sure everyone knows what you're talking about. But coming up next, big news out of the world of women's college hoops.
Yeah.
The tectonic plates are shifting, and one of the all-time greats is on her way home. We'll get to that next. Chinay Ingle Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chinay Ingle Jr., the podcast.
You know what it is. Before we keep that same energy, we got to have roll call. Chinay Ingle Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chinay Ogbemeke, Mike Golic Jr. Now, our family that joined us today, especially for the mock draft for the Raiders. And I'm so mad I missed this, Junior, so I can't wait to listen on the podcast. We had Jason Fitz, part of our ESPN Radio family, host of Spain and Fitz. I got to go back and listen to that. I know y'all had a lot of fun. For the Dolphins, Cameron Wolf, ESPN Miami Dolphins reporter, the Washington football team, Bram Weinstein of ESPN 630, and the Chicago Bears, Jeff Dickerson, who joined us, ESPN Chicago Bears reporter. And that team picked Mac Jones, which was the best player available for a long time. So if you missed any of our picks, you can follow those on our podcast. And of course, we had Mina Kimes join us, ESPN NFL analyst, part of the family on NFL Live. We had so much fun. Now, I dropped in today a little bit later because I am in training camp right now for the WNBA. Go Sparks! Like, that's our cheer, Junior. One, two, Sparks on three. One, two, three, Sparks! I don't know why we do it like that. But
so you guys do it like, it sounds like Sparks. Like,
okay,
the utensil.
You, everything has to come back to food for you.
But like,
it's like Sparks. Not like, here we go, Sparks. It's like, let's go, Sparks.
All right. Well, that time you said it with an emphasis on Sparks.
No, you just are hungry because we did 3 hours of radio and you're hearing Sparks.
I want to take a poll of the room. Cliff and Ryan, who are working in here in Bristol today. Did you guys, Cliff, I'll start with you. Did you hear Sparks or Sporks?
I heard Sparks, but in that tone, right, Chinay? Like, you have to say it the right way, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
Like, let's go Sparks.
Oh, no.
It's a certain way to say it.
I know exactly what's going to happen now. Matt, like, what did you hear?
Yeah, I heard Spork. So, Junior, I guess we're not going to be on the good side of this.
So, Cliff, do you want to say my what I normally say here when they pick that way?
Cultural?
Very cultural, very cultural.
I mean, so, we walked right into it.
Yep. Yep, y'all heard Sporks, and we heard Sporks because we got a little bit more seasoning. I dropped in today a little bit later because it was like 2 minutes later than normal. Junior thought I was coming in 2 minutes, but nah. I heard him talk about the Padres and how I was late to the party. which is true. We also had June Lee, our ESPN writer, there. So I'm going to have to probably text him and be like, hey, I need you to defend me even when I'm a little bit late. But we had a lot of fun today. I talked to you guys about training camp. We asked Junior a zillion questions about the NFL draft. And I think we're going to keep that same energy for the rest of the week. Let's get it.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Jhené and Golic Jr.
All right, Jhené, keeping that same energy from the world of college basketball. This one, kind of a shock as far as just the impact on the landscape. Kim Mulkey, national championship-winning head coach for the Baylor Bears, departing and heading back home to Louisiana. She's going to take over and become the head coach at LSU. How big is this for people that may not realize it, Jhené?
Flex! Flex Kim Mulkey. She won 3 national championships with Baylor. She played in high school, obviously a legend in Louisiana. Collegiately in Louisiana, went to Baylor, did her thing, and now is returning home. And my goodness, this is huge. Just because the seismic ripple effects of what college coaches can do, finding their own pathway home, but also dominating the game in the interim. So it's amazing to see her return home to Louisiana, which is probably one of those things where she's like, all right, I've always wanted to do this, and now she's able to do it, but also do it on a boss level where you know she got paid.
Oh.
Because to be a 3-time title-winning coach at the collegiate level, like, you're going to get a bag, and then to return home with that swag, oh, yeah.
Yeah, the price of the bag just went up. That's Hermes money that she's pulling going back to LSU. So
is it Birkin money, though?
It might be Birkin money.
Yeah, that's Birkin money.
I wouldn't put it past her. Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, keeping that same energy. Adding to the accolades, Jhené, as someone who's got her feet in a lot of different jobs and a lot of different worlds and avenues, you got to appreciate this. Stars Kevin Durant for the Brooklyn Nets and Mike Conley of the Jazz were among the executive producers for Two Distant Strangers, which is awarded the Oscar for Best Short Film Live Action during the Oscars. So adding to the hardware, Jhené, the movie, for anyone that missed it, is about the situation for police brutality for black Americans, talking about what an endless loop it feels like. The film was directed by nominees Martin Desmond Rowe and Trevon Free, a former college basketball player at Long Beach State. But Jhené, incredible to see these guys adding to an already really impressive resume.
And, you know, I love this because it's the legacy of Kobe Bryant, right? Dear Basketball and the Oscar nominations there. And just like, that's one of the most iconic pictures we see of Kobe outside of the court holding that Oscar. Just creating pathways for the next generation to continue that same energy. And so I love it. You know, it takes one. And then from there, it's like you'll hold that door open and so many more will come. I love what KD is doing with his investments, but also you can see him, you know, on the big screen as well, making some moves. So this is a great trend for athletes.
And Jhené, have to do the journalism reporting note here that Durant and Conley, while they are being noticed in here, Bryant and Glenn Keane were both directly nominated when they won Dear Basketball in 2018. Durant and Conley, while they weren't nominated directly for this film, still a part of a huge moment there. And we mentioned Trevon Free, who was nominated, the former Long Beach State basketball player in college, will join the show later this week. So it'll be exciting to talk to him
about that.
He might be a guy that's like close to like a – I know they say the EGOT, the Emmy, the Grammy, the Oscar, and the Tony.
Yeah.
He might be close to like an ego out here, the rate he's going.
My goodness, I can't like talk to us and spread that energy to us so we can soak it in, please, Lord.
I was going to say, we need to find a way to try and get ourselves. Jhené, you feel like our avenue into this right now. I mean, you're already executive producing a documentary for ESPN Films, 144, about the WNBA bubble. So this feels like your sort of territory here.
I mean, but you could also pivot. Like, let's do a pitch. Hey, Jimmy P, Jimmy Pitaro, we got to give the big boy some love. So, like, let's write it out for you too, Junior.
All right, well, there you go. Listen, we're going to try and I'm going to try and find my
you
way.
You heard it here first.
I'm going to shoehorn my way into all of this. Jhené, keeping that same energy as well. Saw this earlier, was made aware, for anyone aware. We have B-roll right now. We're going to run of this, actually. Take a look. at images right now. Never mind. That's why it's called B-roll of Young Thug and Gunna posting bond for 30 jail inmates. Chene, we've talked so much about what's gone on this year. Prison reform, some of the things necessary to help out. Cool to see some people actually putting their money where their mouth is here.
Look, you heard athletes, you heard entertainers, not just, you know, talking the talk, but actually creating pathways for others to really transform their lives, whether it's on the big screens or now just helping people start their lives again. So it's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing to see a lot of people having an impact, trying to advance the ball, and that's always a great thing that we want to celebrate around here. Coming up next, stick with ESPN Radio for Spain and Fitz. Former number one overall pick and Super Bowl champ Drew Bledsoe going to join them next.
Thanks for listening to Chene and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.